Well, how many is ready for the Word? Y'all are like, hurry up and get to it. I want to give you an opportunity. Listen, what is our vision, our mission here? It's to sow, grow, and go. I figure if I give you the first word, they all rhyme, so you should at least be able to get the other two, right? Sow, grow, and go. We are sowing faith in your lives so that you can grow up in righteousness, so you can take that and go into the world, right? Well, I want to give you an opportunity I want to sow some faith into you so that you can grow in righteousness, so you can take it out to the world. And the Lord impressed on me earlier, you know, we are a strategic church. We are a house of miracles. We expect signs and wonders, don't we? What does the book of Acts say about signs and wonders? What does it follow? Huh? Follow them that believe and the preaching of the word. It just rose up inside of me that as the word is being shared today, you know, you can receive your miracle right where you are. I believe this, that if you will, and I pray this all the time, that the Holy Spirit give you ears to hear what he is saying. I believe that if you get so wrapped up in the word of God, that you receive what you have need of. You see, if you take your eyes off of you and your problem and put your eyes on him, that gives him opportunity to take care of your problem. You know what I'm saying? So often we get our eyes so focused, and I believe that's a tool of the enemy. He wants us to get so focused on the problem, so focused on the issue, so focused on ourselves that we can't, that the Holy Spirit can't do anything with that. You know, we're trying to be our own Holy Spirit. We're trying to fix it ourselves. But I believe, and that's why I believe that as the word is preached, as you receive the word, the signs and wonders will follow if you will give yourself to the word. So I'm giving you permission today, right now, to lay aside everything that you've been thinking about through the week. Lay aside all the weights. Lay aside all the burdens, all the problems that have come up, whether at work, with family, with your health, whatever. I'm giving you permission, right? Just lay them aside. Just lay them down. You weren't meant to carry them anyways. Just lay them down and give attention to the Word. And give attention to the Word. And allow the Holy Spirit to work. Amen? Open your Bibles to Psalm 78. I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified, the classic. I don't think we have that version up there. So if we do not, let me just read and not put that other one on the screen, if you would, please. I really want to read this whole psalm, but I don't think I will for time. But I'll just be led and we'll see where it goes. You got your listening ears on? Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, an instruction by numerous examples. I will utter dark sayings of old that hide important truth, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but we will tell to the generation to come the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonderful works that he has performed. For he established a testimony and expressed precept in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, commanding our fathers that they should make the great facts of God's dealings with Israel known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, that the children still to be born might arise and recount them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but might keep his commandments and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright, nor prepared their hearts to know God, and whose spirits were not steadfast and faithful to God. The children of Ephraim were armed and carrying bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk according to His law, and forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and in the field of Zoan, where Pharaoh resided. He divided the Red Sea and caused them to pass through it. And He made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime also He led them with a pillar of cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as out of the deep. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet they still went on to sin against Him, by provoking and rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness, in the land of drought. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking for food according to their selfish desire and appetite. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God furnish the food for a table in the wilderness?" Behold, He did smite the rocks so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. But can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Therefore, when the Lord heard, He was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger mounted up against Israel. Because in God they believed not, they relied not on Him, they adhered not to Him, and they trusted not in His salvation or His power to save. Yet He commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, and He rained down upon them manna to eat and gave them heaven's grain. Everyone ate the bread of the mighty. Man ate angel's food. God sent them meat in abundance. He let forth the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by His power He guided the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them like the dust, and winged birds or quails like the sand of the seas. And He let the birds fall in the midst of their camp round about their tents. So they ate and were well filled. He gave them what they craved and lusted after. But scarce had they stilled their craving, and while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the strongest and sturdiest of them and smote down Israel's chosen youth. In spite of all this, they sinned still more, for they believed not in, they relied not on, and adhered not to Him for His wondrous works. Therefore their days He consumed like a breath in emptiness, falsity, and futility. And their years in terror and sudden haste. When He slew some of them, the remainder inquired after Him diligently, and they repented and sincerely sought God for a time. And they earnestly remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered Him with their mouths and lied to Him with their tongues, for their hearts were not right or sincere with Him, neither were they faithful and steadfast to His covenant. But He, full of mercy and compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yes, many a time He turned His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath and indignation. For He earnestly remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that goes and does not return. How often they defied and rebelled against Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert, and time and again they turned back and tempted God, provoking and incensing the Holy One of Israel. And time and again they turned back. They turned back. King James Version of that verse 41 says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the One, the Holy One of Israel." They turned back, tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. And that's what I want to get to today. That's what I want to talk about today. You know, the last 2 weeks we've been talking about and mentioning, one of the things was don't give up, right? Danny Johnson was here. He gave us 3 points. I expounded on those 3 points. And the last of those 3 points was don't give up. Don't give up. What does it mean to turn back or to limit God? What does that mean? Well, let me give you a hint. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. We always let the word interpret the word. Matthew 13 in verse 58 says this. And just to give you a little background, this is Jesus. He's walking the earth. And it says in 58, and he did not do many works of power there because of their unbelief. He was in his own hometown. He did not do many works of power there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus. King James says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now you know, they had to have heard of the works of Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, the location of those cities and where he traveled and because he was from there, you know that town had heard of all the marvelous things that Jesus had done, the miracles. And yet when he came to do a work there, he could do not many because of what? Their unbelief. Do you remember what we talked about, the one thing that caused the Son of God, Jesus himself, to marvel? The faith of the centurion. You remember I shared that? The centurion came to Jesus and said, Jesus, my servant is dying. And Jesus said, I'll come. He said, no, just speak the word. And Jesus marveled at his faith. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. That centurion, he didn't watch Jesus heal him. He didn't see his servant being healed. He believed, and his servant was healed. He believed. Well, when God's children don't believe or turn back, it limits him to do mighty things in your life. And that's what I want to talk about today. How we limit God in our life. When we turn back, when we walk in unbelief, it limits God in our life. Amen? Are you still at Psalm 70? I flipped away. Let's just continue in verse 42. I know this is a lot of reading, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And as the word is preached, signs and wonders follow. Verse 42 says, they remembered not seriously the miracles of the working of his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he wrought his miracles in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, where Pharaoh resided, and turned their rivers into blood and their streams so that they could not drink from them. He sent swarms. Now this is talking about the Exodus. This is in Egypt. This is what happened in Egypt. He sent swarms of venomous flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also their crops to the caterpillar and the fruit of their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost and great chunks of ice. He caused them to shut up their cattle, or gave them all up also to the hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He let loose upon them the fierceness of his anger, his wrath and indignation and distress, by sending a mission of angels of calamity and woe among them. He leveled and made a straight path for his anger to give it free course. He did not spare the Egyptian families from death, but gave their beasts over to the pestilence and the life of their eldest over to the plague. He smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tents of the land of the sons of Ham. But God led his own people forth like sheep, and guided them with a shepherd's care, like a flock in the wilderness. And he led them on safely and in confident trust, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to his holy border, the border of Canaan, his sanctuary, even to this mountain, Zion, which his right hand had acquired. He drove out the nations also before Israel and allotted their land as a heritage, measured out and partitioned. And he made the tribes of Israel to dwell in the tents of those dispossessed. Yet they tempted and provoked and rebelled against the Most High God and kept not his testimonies. But they turned back and dealt unfaithfully and treacherously like their fathers. They were twisted like a warped and deceitful bow that will not respond to the archer's aim. This is an example for all of us today. In the midst of all that God had done for them, in the midst of everything he had done, he parted the Red Sea so that they could go over on dry land, a miracle right in front of their eyes. He led them with a cloud and a pillar of fire right before their eyes. He caused water when they were moaning and complaining and saying they were going to die in the desert. Why did you deliver us to lead us out here and die? He smote the rock and caused water to come from the rock. And then when they said, is this all we're going to have is water? What did he do? He caused manna to fall down from heaven. And they would gather it up. And they ate of the manna. When they got tired of the manna, they started complaining about that. So he sent them birds so that they could have meat. And then when Moses went up on the mountain to meet with God, well, they decided he was taking a little too long. So they made themselves a golden calf and started to worship that. After all these miracles they had seen, how God had, spectacularly delivered them, caused the plagues and the frogs and turning the water to blood and killing the firstborn of the Egyptians, and how they had, they had been preserved by painting the blood on their door and lentils. How they had eaten the Passover meal, and not even their clothes had worn out. And all of them were in health. There was not one feeble, not one sick among them. All these miracles that God had done, and yet they still turned back and limited the Holy One. They had forgotten the things the Lord had done for them. I remember Tricia sharing a message, and I don't remember the exact title, but it went something like, in times of trouble, rehearse the good things of God out of your mouth. She ministers, I don't know, that just sticks with me. In times of trouble, we need to rehearse the good things of God. Amen? Amen. So evidently, that was a chronic condition with Israel. In fact, he called them a stiff-necked people. But it wasn't limited to Israel. Even the disciples of Jesus showed some of these things. He had just fed the thousands, right? With the two fish and the five loaves and then the 4,000 again. And then they're going in a boat and they say, oh gosh, we have no bread. He's talking about, the leaven of the Pharisees, and they don't get it. They think he's talking about bread, and they're like, oh my gosh, we didn't bring any bread. Oh my gosh, what are we going to... He just fed 5,000 and 4,000 with bread. Just multiplied it. And they couldn't believe it. They just didn't get it. They didn't get it. They limited God. Well, it continues with us today. Many things cause us to turn back from God. Many things. We like the word backslide. Anybody heard of that? Anybody been there? We think, oh, Jim hadn't been here in 3 weeks. He must be backslid. We don't have any Jims in here, right? No, backslid. That's just a name that we put on that we phrase. I put it this way. If we've allowed something or someone to cause us not to believe God and to go in a different direction. Let me say that again. We like to use that term, backslidden. We have allowed something or someone to cause us not to believe God and to go in a different direction, to turn back. Our faith has been compromised. What are some examples of this? I want to give you some examples. Some of you are going to be able to identify with these examples. I happen to identify with a lot of them. I'm a work in progress, Carol. What can I say? I am a work in progress. We all are, aren't we? If we're honest with ourselves, aren't we all a work in progress? How many have arrived? Raise your hand. Kia, you can put that hand down, girl. Okay, maybe Kia. I want to help you today. I want to give you some information. I want to give you the word. I want to preach the word. And as I'm preaching the word, I pray that the Spirit gives you ears to hear. And that you will select something out of the word that is being spoken that ministers to you directly, that can cause you to make a change in your life, that can cause you to move forward and not turn back and limit the Holy One of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Is there joy in the house still?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And all these will be out of my Amplified Bible. We're going to get that corrected. Proverbs 14, verse 14 says, "The backslider in heart from God and from fearing God shall be filled with the fruit of his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied with the fruit of his ways, with the holy thoughts and actions which his heart prompts and in which he delights." King James says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Selfishness is something that will cause you to turn back and limit the Holy One. Selfishness. When we insist on gratifying self and pleasing self instead of pleasing God, it will cause us to turn back and limit God in our life. We see that. It's so prevalent these days, I think. People, and it's easy to get caught up in, isn't it? I mean, I know I have been caught up in that. You know, oh, I need this, or I've got to do this, or, you know. But selfishness will limit the Holy One in your life. It'll limit God. If you are so focused, and we talked about that earlier, if you're so focused inward on yourself and your problems, your issues, it kind of like ties the hand of God or the Holy Spirit to do anything in your life. When you're so focused on yourself. Amen? Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. My buddy Matt. Verse 12 says, "And the love of great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity." King James says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Indifference will cause you to turn back and limit the Holy One. Indifference. The Bible says we love God because He first loved us. But if we can't love one another whom we see, how can we love Him who we can't see? I believe that's the reason God tells us not to forsake the gathering together of ourselves, so that we can encourage and love on one another, lift up and edify one another, and not be indifferent to what each other is going through. I mean, we live in a world that is, they are so selfish and so indifferent to the people that are around them. But we as the body, we're not to be that way.
That's right.
We, in fact, John says that we will know, we'll be known by our love for one another. We will be known by the world because of my love for you and your love for me. We cannot be indifferent because it limits the Holy One in our life. Amen?
Amen?
Turn to Galatians chapter 4. And I know I'm just picking out, you know, a scripture here and there. I think you should, if you're taking notes, write these down and go back and get the full context of it. But I believe the Holy Spirit will show you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. Says, "Now, however, that you have come to be acquainted with and understand and know the true God, or rather to be understood and known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and beggarly and worthless elementary things of all religions before Christ came, whose slaves you once more want to become?" King James says, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly ailments whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" Bondage will keep us or cause us to turn back and limit the Holy One. Bondage. The Bible talks about y'all have heard of how a dog returns to its own vomit. Anybody have dogs? We got any dog lovers here? I'm sure you've witnessed that sometime. A dog will puke it up and then go right back and lap it up again. We're like that. You puke something out of your life, and just as soon as you do, you return right back to it. I believe it's because of what Luke says in chapter 11. We won't turn there, but you puke it out. You clean it up, but you don't fill it back up with the Word of God. In Luke, it's the one where the evil spirit is cast out, and he goes. He comes back, he finds the house swept and cleaned, but he brings back 7 more evil with him than before. And the state of that person is worse than the first state. That's kind of how we'll puke something out of our life, and we'll clean it up. We'll look good on the outside, but then we return right back to it, and then our state's even worse than before because we don't put the Word of God in and build ourselves up on the Word. I don't know. Call me crazy, but I think that's exactly what happens to addicts. And that's why I believe addicts have a hard time getting delivered from that. Because they can get delivered, they clean themselves up, but they're not putting the Word of God inside of them. And then that demon comes right back, brings 7 more with them, and usually that addict's issue is worse than before they got delivered. Why they can't break free. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 verse 38 says, "But the just shall live by faith. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things and holy fervor born of faith and conjoined with it. And if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him." King James reads, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Fear. Fear causes us to draw back or to turn back. And fear is the opposite of what? Faith. You can't operate in both at the same time. You're either operating in faith Well, actually, both are faith. You either have faith in a good outcome or you have faith in a bad outcome, which is fear. Fear will cause us to turn back and limit the Holy One. When the moment that we allow fear in is the moment that the enemy has us, and he knows he does. That's why it is crucial to cast it down immediately. Immediately. I've shared, you know, when I was going through what I went through, immediately, we took authority over that immediately. Immediately we cast it down. Because the longer you wait, the more that gets a hold on you. And if it gets a toe hold, it's going to crawl up to your ankle. If it gets your ankle, it's going to take your leg. If it takes your leg, it's going to take your hips. And pretty soon, your whole body is going to be paralyzed from fear. And that's why you have to cast that down immediately. As soon as that fear comes up, as soon as you get that sniffle, you cast it down. As soon as it comes, immediately you cast it down. Because fear limits the Holy One. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 32. Is this okay? I know this seems kind of somber. But I believe the Holy Spirit is getting something over to us that we need as a body to continue to move forward. And like I said, not all will identify with these, but I believe some will identify with some, maybe even just one. And if it's just one thing, listen, just one word from God can change your life forever. If it's just one word that you pick up on, if it was just the word joy today, man, I knew that if it was just the word joy and you ain't listening to a word I'm saying, I'd be pleased, tickled pink with that if God gave you that revelation today. Amen? Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. What are some things that limit the Holy One in our lives? It says, when the people saw, verse 1, it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, they gathered together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. We do not know what has become of him. Lack of leadership will cause us to turn back and limit the Holy One in our life. People want leadership, and when there is none, they will wander. Is that not true? Even the most desperate of times, people won't turn back with good leadership. That's why I wanted to share about that movie, 12 Strong. Because they were fighting these terrorists that had missile rocket launchers, tanks, gigantic 50 caliber machine guns. They were fighting them on horseback. Now, if I said to you, hey, you 12 guys, come on, let's go ground up these horses. We're going to attack this army of 12,000. Y'all in? But this man was a leader. And he, what's the word? He inspired these men to go. And it's considered, according to what the words at the end of it, it's considered one of the greatest victories in modern battle. And it said Al-Qaeda considers it one of their worst defeats. They've erected a statue of a soldier on horseback near the 9/11 monument, even. One of the greatest victories of modern, on horseback. We need good leaders. Y'all pray for me. We need good leaders. We need good leadership because when the lack of leadership, we just read it there, the people, when Moses delayed, they faltered. They stumbled. They turned back. And when we do that, it will limit God in our life. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. I'm getting close here. 1 Kings chapter 11. Verse 4 says, "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect, complete, and whole with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." King James reads, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Evil associations will cause you to turn back and limit the Holy One in your life. Evil associations. They're not all wives. Okay? I know I read that scripture. They're not all wives. They could be co-workers. They can be spouses. They could be friends. They could be family members. But evil associations will cause you to turn back from the faith that you know because of who you associate with. And I'm not talking about, you know, even God, Jesus associated with sinners, right? I'm not talking about when you associate with someone in the design to turn them to the Lord or to speak into their life on behalf of the kingdom of God. I'm talking associate when you have relationship. When you have relationship or evil associations, it will cause you to turn back and limit the Holy One. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. It says, how do you pronounce that? Demas? Demas? We'll say Demas. For Demas. Oh, I better not do that. "For Demas had deserted me for love of this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Love of this present world will cause you to turn back and limit the Holy One in your life. Love of this present world. And that goes right along, I think, with selfishness. When we love the world more than we love God, when we sacrifice things in our life for things of the world, it limits God in our life. When we chase after that American dream. Listen, I'm not saying that we can't do, we can't operate in our gifting in the world. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying we all have to be jobless and preaching the word, wandering preachers. I'm not saying that at all. But when we love the world more than we love God, it limits Him in our life. It just limits Him. Turn over to James chapter 4 on this same subject. I know there's a lot of turning. James chapter 4. Here's the problem. Verse 1. "What leads to strife, discord, and feuds? And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. Or do you ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives? Your attention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it on sensual pleasures. You are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as the enemy of God. That's pretty powerful words. Here's the answer. Verse 5 says, "Or do you suppose that the Scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, 'The Spirit whom He has caused to dwell in us yearns over us, and He yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love.' But He gives us more and more grace." Thank God for grace. "Power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why He says, 'God sets Himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it.' So be subject to God." We love this verse. We quote it all the time, but we don't read everything in front of it. "So be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your spoiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests, and purifying your hearts of your spiritual adultery. As you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieve, even weep over your disloyalty. Let your laughter be turned to grief and your mirth to dejection and heartfelt shame for your sins. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant, in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant." Humble ourselves. We're to humble ourselves and let God exalt us. Amen? Because when we trust in the things of this world, or when we seek after worldly success, that will cause us to turn back and limit the Holy One in our life. When we put ourselves before God, when we don't humble ourselves, when we're prideful, when we're proud of our achievements. You know, it says that God has given us the power to gain wealth. We don't have the power in ourselves to gain wealth, but we think we do, some of us. And we go after that in our own power to gain wealth. But it's saying that God is the one when we humble ourselves. Amen? Amen? Turn over to Luke 8. I'm going to wrap this up. I said I was, because I feel like I'm putting you to sleep today. But the Holy Spirit's going to wake you up. Luke chapter 8. Verse 13 says, And those upon the rock are the people who, when they hear the word, receive and welcome it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of trial and temptation, fall away, withdraw, and stand aloof. King James reads, "They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away." Shallowness will cause us to turn back and limit the Holy One in our life. There's no depth in us. There's no depth of purpose. There's no depth of character. There's no depth of understanding. Shallowness will cause us to turn back. When times are tough, if there is no deep-rooted conviction of faith in God in our life, we'll turn back. We'll turn back. When there's no real true grit, True. Anybody see that movie, True Grit? The old version and the remake. True Grit, about the guy that, you know, went and helped this girl to find her father's murderer, but they went through a lot of different stuff and ended up carrying her and getting to the. Anybody see the movie? Or am I just okay? True Grit. He had true grit. That man had true grit. Some of us need some grit. Need some grit in our life. Amen? And the last one, I'll just share this, and it goes right along with what we've been talking about for almost 6 months. We've been talking about getting in alignment with our assignment, right? Lack of purpose. Lack of purpose will cause us to turn back and limit the Holy One in our lives. If we do not have purpose. You know, God has called us and gifted all of us with a unique gift. Each one of you. Each one of you has a unique gift that He's placed inside of you. And we learned today that we need to be about the Father's business. We need to be doing business with that gift that He's placed inside of us. He didn't just place it there to lie dormant. He placed that gift inside of you to be used for the building of the kingdom of God. Amen. That is your purpose. Amen. Your purpose is to build the kingdom of God in this earth, utilizing the gift that He's placed inside of you. How simple is that? Some of you say, well, I don't know what my gift is. I bet you do know. If you will take time and meditate and reflect and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you, it's inside of you. I believe you do know it. Some of you may want to reject it. Some of you may not want to recognize it. Some of you have suppressed it so far, it would take an earthquake to reveal it. And that's okay. He can cause a shaking in your life. We're in the midst of a shift. And when things shift, they get shaken. I just read somewhere that there was an earthquake. I don't remember where it was. There was an earthquake somewhere, and it had opened up the ground and revealed fossil. I believe it was some kind of fossil. But when there's a shift and there's a shaking, it will reveal some things sometimes. And I believe some of you need to be shaken. And let that gift be revealed. But you got to be using the gift for the building of the kingdom. And how are you doing that? What does that look like to you? It's what we've been talking about. Getting in alignment with our assignment. We said in the beginning that this is the year of alignment. I believe this is a year of alignment. Things are getting to, you know, we look at planets and see how planets align, and, you know, there's something to that. Well, this is the year of alignment in the spirit realm for Christian Growth Center, yes. For you personally, yes. And I believe for the body of Christ universal, yes. Some things are getting in alignment, preparing for the soon coming return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we better be about the Father's business. We better be. We need to be. Because, why? He needs you. He needs your gift. He needs your gift. Having no purpose will cause you to backslide or turn back from God and limit the Holy One. That's why I believe He's been emphasizing this. Getting in alignment with your assignment. Everyone wants to have purpose, don't they? Have you ever just sometime, some period in your life, felt like you were just kind of walking through life, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to go, not knowing who to talk to, no purpose, just kind of walking? Some of us weren't even walking. We were just standing still, not knowing what to do. Lack of purpose will limit the Holy One in your life. He wants action. Faith is active. He wants to see faith in operation. He wants to see you taking that step of faith. And He can work with that. He can use that. And then you take that next step. Faith in operation. Amen? I hope y'all received something. I believe by the Spirit of God you did today. I believe the words that have gone forth about this being a strategic church, I believe that, and I endeavor to seek God's face about what that means and what we are to be doing as a church body, as a corporate church body. And I believe that He's starting to put the picture together. I believe He is. I believe He's starting to put the, at least for me, to put the picture together. And I'm very excited about things that are happening. And I hope that you guys are excited about things that are happening. You know, we are a small body here, but it's okay. I believe that great things come from small things. But we all need to hook up. We all need to hook up our hearts. We all need to be of one accord for things to happen. And I'm so grateful for you. I love you guys dearly. I just want you to know that I am seeking God for each one of you. And praying and believing God for each one of you. Don't let your love grow cold for one another. Don't let the enemy come and steal that from you. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Because your joy is your strength. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I don't want to leave today without giving you opportunity to sow your seed, to give your tithes and your offerings. And we believe this is good ground that you're sowing into. We all always sow 10% of whatever comes in this house into other ministries and missions. Our missions bowl is up there if you want to sow directly into missions. We 100% of that goes straight out to the missions. You can sow by check, cash, and you can give online. So when you're not here and you're on vacation, just pull up your phone and you can give your offering that way too. But remember, and I know we share this scripture a lot, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, but God is the one that provides bread to the eater. And then He also will provide seed to the sower. And when He provides that and He sees you're obedient in sowing, He will multiply that seed for sowing. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready to give?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus is the center of it all. Amen. We need to give our attention to Jesus. We need to give our time, our talent, our finances, our resources, our gifts to Jesus. You're not doing it for man. You're not doing it for this building. You're not doing it for me or anybody else in leadership. You're not doing it for that. You're doing it for Jesus. You're doing it for the cause that He came into this earth and gave His life for. He died, shed His blood. He was buried and resurrected again, all for you. All for you. He deserves our attention. He's the only one that does. The only one that does. He deserves our attention and our time and our talent and our resources. Father, thank You. Thank You that we have opportunity to come to this place. Lord, I thank You, and again, remember all those that have laid down their life in service for this country, those that even serve today, those that have served and no longer do, but survived and are here to tell the story. I thank God for their lives. Father, I thank You for Your Son Jesus' life, that He laid down His life in service of the kingdom, that He may see the day when we, the sons of God, manifest ourselves. Holy Spirit, the one that dwells inside of us, You are our advocate, our helper. Encourage us this day to not turn back, but to stand firm, to not give up, to move forward, to be active in our faith. And if any of those conditions that we talked about today, if any one of us are going through that, Holy Spirit, I thank You that You lead and guide us to the truth of it. God, I thank You for Your grace, Your tremendous mercy upon us that would allow us to change our ways. I thank You that You've given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You, and that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened. You are showing us things, and we receive them. They are going into good ground, and they will bear forth good fruit, fruit that will remain in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.